Good morning. Let's stand together and worship the Lord.
Remain standing. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, isn't that so true? Everything that we just sung. Lord, so often, so many things can be said, Lord God, to us. But the very thing that registers to us the most, oh Lord, is that we know that we're loved. Oh God, I pray today that as we join our hearts together here in this place, Lord, that we would experience your love again today, oh God. Lord, you know every individual in this house today, oh God. You know where they are. You know what they're going through. You know what their needs are, oh Lord. Lord, you know how to touch each of us exactly where it hurts the most. Each of us exactly where we may need that bit of encouragement, Lord, to get over our hurdle. Something that will carry us the next leg of our journey, oh Lord. Lord, as we join ourselves together and we look to you, O God, As we lift up our hearts to you, O Lord, I pray, O God, that you would descend on your people. Lord, your promises that you have given us your Holy Spirit. O God, I pray that your Spirit's power today would descend upon us and that we would experience in a new and refreshing way, O God, in a way that only you can deliver it, more than words, Lord God, just the power of your presence. Lord, we thank you for this moment, and we continually ask and look for your presence in our hearts and in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Thanksgiving is coming. Now, I want to ask you a couple of rhetorical questions. I just want you to think about it. Why are you here? Again, rhetorically. Why are you here? When there are so many other places you could be. In fact, there are so many other churches you could be as well. But why are you here? And I want to ask you, while you're here, do you believe that when you show up, God is here to meet you? God is here to greet you? Yeah. And when you're here, is he doing something in you? Things that nobody else can see and know that's going on unless you were to say something to someone else. By the way, God said this to me today, or God is doing this in my life. See, that's the whole purpose of why we're here. That's why we gather. And we have something to be thankful for, don't we? And we're coming up to our Thanksgiving service this year, and I want to encourage you that if you believe that you belong here, that this is the place that God has brought you here, and that this is the place where God meets you and touches you, then I want you to step out in faith this year and invite family, invite friends to our Thanksgiving service and to the dinner and meal afterwards. Because I trust as you do that, if you step out in faith with a little bit of boldness, a little bit of courage and say, what are you doing on Sunday, November 24th? I'd like to invite you. Now, you might be rejected, you might be turned down. It's not going to be the first time you've ever been rejected, has it? So step out, do it, do it. And see what God will do. And pray before you do it. Definitely pray before you do it. Lord, I was thinking about so-and-so. You ever hanging out and somebody pops into your mind? God has put that person there. You pray for them. Maybe pray that you would invite them in. But I want to encourage you to do that. Because I'm telling you, if you do, you never know what God's going to do in the life of that person. All right? So continue to be thinking along those lines as we are moving together towards Thanksgiving. All right? Ushers, will you come forth and take our offering?
Dear Lord, we look forward to seeing all the miraculous things you can do when we just take that breath and release it from you. Amen.
Someone leave their glasses up here. Where did she go? Will she be lost without them? Yeah, just in case. Thanks, Sue. Right. Well, how are we doing this morning? Thank the worship band and team for leading us in worship today. Greatly appreciate it. And it's just good to be together. So this morning, I want to welcome you to another Family Sunday. It's good to see our families together with us today. And we're going to start, at the same time, we're going to start a new series, the God Form series. And I want to talk to you about from something to someone today. We are something, but we are becoming someone. And I think that's how we start. And I think the end of the line is that God is looking to do something in our lives and make us a people, a person of his very own. So this morning I want to ask the children, where are my children? Where? Let me see a sign of hands, all the children here today. Awesome. Oh yeah, we have some. Yes, I see that big child there too. Okay. So anybody familiar with this? Yeah, what is it? Play-Doh. Play-Doh. Okay. How many of you adults remember playing with Play-Doh? Yeah. Last time I had a session with Play-Doh, I was with my granddaughters and I made myself a green mustache. Right? It's Play-Doh's just something to have fun with and it's something to do things with. But when you first get it, it's just something, right? It's in a container. And the only form it takes is what the shape of that container is, whatever that shape might be, right? And so, but then we get our hands on it, and then we could do different things like this. What's that? Taco. It's not Tuesday, so don't get excited, okay? Taco. So it's a taco, right? So, but this is the kind of taco that you really don't want to bite into, but it looks good, right? It was well done, right? Right? So it's a taco. It's what? Oh, whoa. Thank you, Frank. Just jumping the gun here on me. So, who is this? Percy. Okay. Yeah, Percy's a little out of my range. I don't know Percy, but maybe you can tell me about him later. This Percy. So you can make a Percy, right, with the Play-Doh, but then there are other things that you can make, right? Tiger. Or as Winnie the Pooh would say, Tigger. Right? Right? So is it Tiger or a Tigger, right? And then for you girls, we can make bunnies, rabbits, right? Rabbits, right? And then, right? Dolls and pets and flowers. And so there's so much that we can do with Play-Doh. It has such great potential, right? Now, I was never really good. I could play with it, but I was never really good at making things, you know? But there are people who can do things like this, you know? And I want to tell you that each of our lives, like Play-Doh, started out just in a kind of container, right? And then it comes to a place where there's a set of hands that work in our lives and begin to form us into something. Now, years ago, many, many years ago, before Play-Doh ever was invented and put out on the market and sold and hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of children enjoyed, there was a thing called clay. That was the original Play-Doh. A little bit more complicated, but it was there. So I want to share this brief video with you.
Not really sure what I'm going to be when I grow up. There are lots of things I think I'd like to do. But I know I'm being shaped for something. God has a plan for me. And even though I don't completely know what that plan is yet, I know He's molding me into the person He wants me to be. Smoothing out my imperfections. Making sure I have the right consistency to live in a world that might batter me around a fair amount. There was a time when I tried to go my own way, when I thought I could shape my own destiny. Without God's help, well, those attempts did not turn out too well. Now I know it's best to just trust my Creator, to trim away the things that distract from His purpose, to purify me. It's great to know that I'm in such good hands.
Yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand.
It's messy. And you know what? Right on cue. Right on cue. Because life is messy. And going through it and becoming a people, being a people that God can get His hands on and work with us, can be very messy at times. Sometimes messier than others, right? So this morning I want to go to you from where the scripture is that the gentleman who made the video used, from Isaiah chapter 64, and we're going to look at the first eight or nine verses, I should say. And I want you to follow with me, right? Because when we enter into scriptures, quite often we are entering into messes, you know? When you and I really would like our lives to be very neat and orderly, and I said to you about at least a week ago, you know, sometimes I say, oh God, I just want a break, because life can be so chaotic and so messy. Well, a lot of times when we enter the scriptures and we look at what the prophets have to say, they're always, most times, in the midst of a mess, because God's people are in a bit of a mess. Well, let's look at Isaiah 64. Isaiah says, oh, that you would rend, that is to tear the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations might tremble at your presence, when you did awesome things that we did not look for. You came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for Him. You meet Him with joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like leaves, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. What we're getting into here is just the way life can be. And I don't care who we are, I don't care where we live, I don't care our age, our color, our family histories, our backgrounds. Life can be pretty messy. And yet, God has something in mind for each of us, no matter how discouraged we can get, no matter how messy life can become. God has always had a plan from the very beginning. from the start for each of us. And children, today when you're here with us, I want you to know that God has a plan for you. I know you don't sit around and play at home with your toys and maybe your brothers and your sisters and think, oh, well, I know God has a plan for my life, because you're just enjoying life. But as you're enjoying life, God is watching over you. And he has a plan for you. And he's going to do something in your life. With every day that passes by, God wants to reach down and touch you in some way. Because you see, you're not just something. You're not just something that came in the container, you know? That one day you showed up inside your mom, and then God brought you out into the world. Because the minute he brought you out into the world, and the minute he brought into each of us out into the world, he had a plan and a design for us. Now, like Israel, quite often, we can kind of lose our way. We can kind of start stumbling around. And if you're anything like me, you know that when you are in relationship with people and with one another, it doesn't take very long for trouble to show up or our imperfections to come to the surface of our lives. We get to see each other's imperfections and warts, you know, and we all have them. You know, I might be able to cover them today with a long sleeve shirt, but when the weather gets warm and I roll up my sleeves, you're going to see something. Yeah? And it happens in relationships. It certainly happened with God's people in their relationship with him. And he knew full well they had to go through it to see themselves amongst one another, you know? And quite often, we can be rejected and turned away by people, but God is never the one who wants to put us out of his sight completely. There are times when we feel a distance, like the people of God did, as we read in the scriptures today. But that distance is because of ourselves, not because of his love. And so God is continually at work. And especially I want to say to you that we come to this place and a lot of times we see each other, you know. We spend enough time and months and years together, we are going to see things about each other that we may not particularly care. And then what do? Because sometimes we think that this is the church, that this shouldn't happen here. That shouldn't happen here. That should have never been said, this and on and on and on. But I want to say to you, where else should it be seen? Where else? But in amongst the family. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what? If I was the kind of person, and I'm not really that kind of person, but if I was the kind of person who really wanted to hide myself from you, I guess I could, right? Because you don't live with me. But someone does live with me. And that person sees everything about me. And I'm not just talking about God. Right? I'm talking about my wife. She goes through the ups and downs with me, the roller coaster rides, the hairpin turns, the flat tires, you know, the mental flat tires, where something blows and you pull up on the side of the road and you get out and you start kicking the car, you know, because life isn't going the way you want it to go and you're just so frustrated because you thought that this should have turned out better and this should have worked out a lot simpler and it just doesn't. And where does that surface? But at home. With the people that you live with day in and day out and that you love and hopefully love you. Because if they don't, it's a lot of problems, right? So and so it should be in the church where we come together in the name of Christ, the lover of our souls. See? Because we come here after years. Some of us, I mean, if you are young and you have accepted Christ and you have started that journey, it's better for you. But many of us have traveled a great distance and put a lot of years in before we actually came around to the love of God. So that means that you and I have a lot of luggage. There's a lot of bags, unseen, you know. It's almost like Jacob Marley's chains when he visited Scrooge, right? We carry them. We have busboys and butlers come up behind us with all the luggage that we have. Because we've stored it up over the years, all the things that we've done and experienced, all the hardship, all the pains, and some of them still linger. They're like splinters, and they just stick, and they just don't come out so easy. And a lot of times when we come into a loving environment, we get to relax. Oh, someone who cares about me, someone who likes me, someone who loves me. And so you let your hair down and you unbutton your shirt. And then all of a sudden you look inside and there's a stain. Okay. But you unbutton it anyway. And what we need is someone to say, come along and say, hey, can I help you with that stain? Not, ooh, what did you eat yesterday? What's that stain on your shirt, you know? No, you need somebody who'll say, listen, I have some shout. I can throw that in the laundry and just wash it up and give it back to you. And I can help you with that, you know? You see, because that's what we need to see. That's what God would like to have taking place in us, is where we can let ourselves relax and not be afraid to have a finger pointed at us. So, and I'll probably get into this a little bit more in the weeks to come, but you know, the Bible doesn't say that people will know his disciples because they point a finger at one another. Yeah. By the way, you didn't hit that right note today or something like, no, I'm just kidding, Vicky, you know, just joking. Vicky's gone, oh my God, I didn't hit a note. Or I didn't smile enough for somebody this morning when I greeted them. You know, it's a place where, you know, sometimes we come in here and we're all feeling a lot of different things and going through different things. And sometimes we just, and I need to know this because being Italian, this is always in gear, you know, and I think I'm going to fix everything because I'm doing this. Sometimes I just need to be quiet and just give a smile, give a hug, maybe just greet, say good morning. But we need to have a place where God is at work and we can unload the luggage and know that God is working in each of our lives and he has a plan, right? He's taken us out of the container. He's begun to work with us and mold us and shape us into something uniquely different and give us a purpose and a character. And that's where I want to go with you this month in this God Form series, that God is working in your life and he is doing things that are far beyond our understanding and our imagination. And he is working with us and he knows us so well. You know? And he knows that putting us on that wheel and shaping us is going to be messy. You know? But that he's into it when I tell you. You know when you're into something? Like, you know, when you're into something, it doesn't matter if you're getting necessarily paid or, you know, but you just enjoy what you're doing. God enjoys what he's doing when he works in your life and when he works in my life. He's enjoying us, even though sometimes we're not liking ourselves, you know, and we don't like what's happening, and I don't like how I fall short here, I failed again, or I let somebody down. You know, God is at work in these processes, and he doesn't give up. He never gives up, because that's what love does. That's what love does. And so this is the environment that we find ourselves, and that we should embrace and actually become a part of and exemplify with one another, that we're still construction sites, you know, and things are happening and we're being built up and God is doing things in our lives, you know. And so when you look at the scriptures today, you see this presentation of God, but then somehow in the middle of it, there's this break, you know, there's like a snapping and, oh God, you were angry, you know. And so there's this identifying that there was something amiss, which we call sin, or falling short, or, you know, stumbling around. And yet, we get to that place that Isaiah points to, where he says, but. Because I, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're in a conversation with someone, and you think you're making headway, and you're agreeing on something, and then all of a sudden, the but shows up. But, oh my God. Now where are we going? This is going to make a turn, and I don't know if I'm going to really particularly care for the turn that this conversation is going to make, and so you kind of brace yourself. Well, I love this morning because when we get to Isaiah's butt here in verse 8, you can kind of relax. I feel my shoulders kind of come down, feel the weight coming off, and listen to what he says, but now, O Lord, in spite of all that's going on with us as your people, now, O Lord, you are our Father. You are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the works of your hands. You just kind of get this coming together, you know, this understanding that it's okay. It's going to be okay. Oh, yeah, but Pastor Vin, you don't know what I did this week. It's going to be okay. Amen. All right? But you don't know how long this has been going on. Can you believe with me that it's going to be okay? Regardless of what it is, it can be okay if we understand that we come back to the place where God is the one who has his hands on us. That he is our Father. There is no one like him. I mean, the perfect parent. The perfect parent. And that he is just loving us. That he is not done with us. And that we are the work of his hands, each of us. Each of us. And so there is a comfort that comes over. There is a love that kind of relaxes us. Say, you know what? I can get up off the floor, you know. I can go another mile. I can go at this again. You know what? I'm not going to lose hope. Think about what that means for you. Now think about what that could mean for somebody else who has yet to understand that they have a loving father, that they weren't some mistake that their parents made or one of their parents made, you know, that God knew exactly when they were brought into the world, that he had a purpose for bringing them into the world, that their life is not a mistake, but it has a purpose and a plan because God brought it about. So you get that sense of a father. Think about the people that you and I come around day in and day out that may not know that truth, that might be walking around just thinking, what a mess my life is. How lost do I feel? How unloved do I feel? How left out do I feel? Because people, and you know, you've been there, I've been there, I can relate to that. But people need to know that regardless of how much of a mess life can be, that there is a loving God, a Father, who has brought them into the world and has a purpose. And but they can only touch the hem of his garment, get near to him, just a little, everything can change. Everything can change because there's no one like him. No one like him. So this morning, as we move towards the table of the Lord today, when we come to that place where we kind of pause for a moment, and we definitely need to pause, to think about his great love. His great love is displayed in what we're about to do today. See, the table of the Lord is not for the perfect. If we were all perfect, Jesus would have never had to break bread. He would have never had to have his body broken. He would have never had to pour out the wine and serve it to others by spilling his blood. In fact, the Lord's table is for the imperfect. And that means it's for all of us. And all we need to do is but to acknowledge him in the taking. To be a people who will hit the pause button and say, oh God, here I am. Now, I don't know how you're feeling this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with. But God does. He doesn't know. I don't know what you've been through the last week, month, or even year. But he does. And he is once again offering himself to you and I. And it's just a matter of coming to him and saying, you know, Lord, here I am. You know, kind of just putting it all out there, because with him you can do that. We don't have to, although that's our natural knee-jerk reaction when we do something that, you know, just doesn't float. I want to hide. Oh, God. I want to duck. Like playing hide and seek with my granddaughters. I want to find a place where no one can find me. But we don't have to do that with him. And that's a great thing. We can just come to him as we are. Think about the freedom in that. Take the moment you really ponder it and reflect on the freedom on that. Think about what that kind of freedom can do for people around us and in our world, people we work with, certain family members. Yeah. And so this morning I wanna lead you. Walk with me into the hands of the potter. Come before his table today and know this, which it says in verse 9. Be not so angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. You see? God welcomes that request. God so desires to fill that request because he's not about being angry, but about a God who just wants to love us. So today, as we get ready to take together, what is broken? What do you feel is before, as you take time to reflect on God, what is broken in your life? What is breaking you? Kind of put it in those terms. What is breaking you right now? Yeah. What is that God can get his hands on and begin to remove from our lives? Yeah. What is it that he would lovingly like to get his hands on? Yeah. Because there are no hands like his. None. And I want to say to you, today, being here and being in this place, you're in good hands. You're in good hands because you're in his hands. This moment has been ordained by God. He has brought this about. He is making this happen because there's something that he wants to do in our lives. And he's so not done. So not done. Because love never ends. And his love endures forever. And he's at work in us. So as we prepare, I'm going to ask Tiffany to come up and play something. I want to pray with you. But I just want you to take this moment and not rush through it, please. I try to be mindful enough to allow for enough quietness with you today as Tiffany comes and plays. Let's take a moment and pause.
Into the saving arms of God, I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
I will rise from waters deep, and I will
rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died and rose again. It's what the Lord has done.